Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast from the International Motorsports Association and Radio Show Limited.
It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
The Countdown to Green.
Everybody, and apologies for the slight delay that we have had for you this evening. Nothing we could do to affect that, I'm afraid. It has been one of those years, hasn't it? However, the good news is that although rain is still falling at Charlotte Motor Speedway, we are looking at a 9:05 local Eastern time green flag for the Motul 100% Synthetic Grand Prix 2020. We're in the Michelin Countdown to Green. It's John Hindorf and Jeremy Shaw in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. Shea Adam will be our VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock reporter. Let's catch up with what happened earlier on. We've got our Porsche keys to the race to come, and we will finish up with our post-race tech, Michelin post-race tech as well. It's Curry on duty up in London, where it's rapidly approaching 2 o'clock in the morning. And hello to Jake and the team in Charlotte, who are standing by to go live with our international video feed as well. Let's catch up with the gossip, as I said, from earlier on. Shay, bring us up to date with what everyone needs to know. Assume that we all know nothing. Some driver changes this weekend, some personnel changes as well at some of the teams. Been a few little changes around up at Charlotte Motor Speedway.
Well, let's start with the driver changes, since you mentioned that. From the 76 Compass Racing McLaren, Corey Fergus not sharing that car this weekend with Paul Holton, as he is on baby watch. He and his wife expecting their first child. So Corey is not going to be driving with Compass for this round or the next sprint round at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. In his place is Porsche GT3 Cup Championship leader Jeff Kingsley, making his IMSA debut. Qualified fourth, so it's a good start so far from Jeff, the young Canadian. We also have another substitute driver in the GTD class, and it is for another good reason. In the number 12, Michael De Quesada has stepped in for Frank Montecalvo, who today got married to Paige. So congratulations to Frank and Paige. And we can't wait to have Frank back in the race car that he shares with Townsend Bell. So now that we're through the driver changes, let's mention the cars that have so far this weekend met the walls. And I start off with the one for Michael De Quesada, because he was the first car to actually have an incident with the wall, hit the right-hand side of the car on the wall just at the exit of turn number 8, which is where you come back onto the NASCAR banking portion of the track after the infield. No harm, no foul. The crew was able to get the car fixed. It went out for qualifying, and it was good. The second car that had a bit of trouble was in the second practice session. That was the 22 Gradient Racing Acura NSX. Mark Miller left the pit lane, four wheels left with him, but one of them shortly thereafter departed the car and the right front came off. So that brought out a secondary red flag while the 22 was being recovered. That car also out for qualifying, till Bechtelsheimer putting that car P7. Now we come to qualifying, where we had two more instances of red flags because of cars meeting the wall. The first of those was for Misha Goikberg, who will start second to last, but Jeremy will tell you more about that when we get to the grid. Misha hitting the car again at that point of the wall where you, just before you come back up onto the banking, did some right rear suspension damage to that car, but they were able to get it repaired. Now, the last car that's met the wall so far, and I do say so far because we still have a 100-minute race to come, the number 912 Porsche. That was Lawrence Vantor on his first flying lap, a big tail wiggle that was on the same part of the track that I've just mentioned, that coming into turn 8, just hit it on the right-hand side. It actually hit it so hard that the tail end plate got caught up in the catch fence and ripped away. So that was a big instance for that car. The number 912 was repaired and will start the race. So all 18 cars set to see the green flag.
Jeremy Shaw joins me here in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre. A new challenge for these guys, all the drivers, all the teams, in fact. There's been a little... there has been a tyre test here. Michelin brought some of the cars up and a few people have had a go round here. Our Porsche keys to the race then. How important is it that people adapt quickly to this new track? There's not been a whole lot of running here this weekend, Jeremy.
You're absolutely right, John. There hasn't. There have been two sessions, an hour long for each of them, and then the brief qualifying as well. And as Shay was saying, there have been various interruptions. The track conditions have been pretty dodgy. They haven't really had, I don't think, had a kind of a full dry track. I suppose qualifying was probably the closest to come to that. There have been damp sessions, I think, most of them. I don't think we even had full wet yet. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens during this 100-minute race. It's a very challenging racetrack. It's a very fast racetrack for how tight and twisty it appears to be looking at the track map. Average speed in qualifying was in excess of 112 miles an hour, which is a pretty quick, pretty good going for a track like this. So, I think it's going to be a really exciting race. It's physically demanding, but I think the physicality problem will be alleviated somewhat by the fact that it's supposed to be wet this evening, but it's going to be mentally demanding as well, because there's no room here to make a mistake at all, John.
A lot of teams comparing this with a straight track and the proximity of the walls, that's a reasonable comparison, Jeremy, and the fact it's only 100 minutes. So we're kind of looking at Long Beach and the Grand Prix down there. That's the same sort of time that we're looking at. So what's that going to do to the pit stop strategy? Because that's still going to be key here.
Yeah, I mean, all the cars can make it on one pit stop. The question is, kind of when do you make that? Do you gamble that there might be some cautions later on and make you stop a little bit earlier than you would do otherwise? That's a strategy that some teams might employ. But basically, it's a one-stop race pretty easily for everybody. If you take a gamble beyond that, then perhaps it'll pay out in your favour, but perhaps it won't.
Keep an eye on the weather is an obvious thing to say. It can change quickly. 50% of the race, so 50 minutes, IMSA could call it at that point. Whether that will factor into strategy, we don't know, because we don't know what's coming up the pipe as far as weather's concerned. But one thing we do know, Jeremy, is unlike some other forms of motor racing, there are no intermediate tyres here. It's wet weather tyres, which I think is what everybody will be starting on, given the conditions that we've had earlier on, then there may have to be a change to slicks. That could be a big gamble. Depends on what the temperatures are, and it depends how quickly the water clears.
Yes, certainly. Yeah, that's true. I from what the people I've been speaking to, they think it's pretty unlikely that we're going to be switching to slick tires. We'll have to wait and see. So your tire. They got plenty of slick tyres again through the weekend in any case, so that's not an issue. You talked there about the driving time. Normally, it's 45 minutes, isn't it, the minimum drive time. For this shorter race, though, just 30 minutes. So, that could be a factor for some of the teams as well, particularly, of course, in GTD. In GTLM, really, the drivers just got to do 5 minutes, I think it is the base drive time. So, they could pretty much make a pit stop any time after the first couple of laps. But that's not the case for GTD, for the Pro-Am class here, where each of the drivers in each of the cars has to do a minimum of 30 minutes behind the wheel.
Take a deep breath, Jeremy. We'll be back to you in a moment for the rundown of the 18 cars, 12 in GT Daytona, 6 in GTLM. But before we do that, share with a little more news. I mentioned personnel changes and I skipped right past it when we got into the Porsche keys to the race there. Share a couple of faces that aren't around this weekend who we've become very accustomed to in the IMSA paddock.
Yeah, one of the ones that I know hits especially close to home for you, John, because you've spent so much time with Mr. Tandy in the American lounges across the country and always by Nick's side has been the 911 race engineer, Gary Davies. He's been a part of the team since they actually came into existence back in 2014 with Core Autosport running. One championship, 11 race wins, including two times at Petit Le Mans, two times at the 12 Hours of Sebring, and one time at the 24 Hours of Daytona, and more than 13 poles. But Gary, who is now going over to work in Formula E, he's going to run the Dragon team over there. He is not on the pit box for Nick Tandy for the first time since that 2014 season. It's going to be a very different voice on the radio, Morgan Brady, talking to Nick Tandy. But the good news, we did get a little bit of good news this week. Core Autosport will be back next year with John Bennett and Colin Brown for an LMP3 car. So we knew that John was not retiring. He never said he was going to retire. He simply stepped away for a little while to reassess. Bennett is back, and so is Core.
And Jeremy, that's really good news for everything, for everybody concerned. There was a little bit of head scratching when we heard that LMP3 was going to be added to the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship as a class, as well as still having its championship in its own right. But already we've seen a lot of interest from that. And if it's bringing people like Core and John Bennett back, it's going to bring United across at least for Daytona as well, then clearly IMSA had got the temperature right.
Well, it certainly appears that way. Yes, indeed. I think there's a lot of excitement about the news that came out a couple of weeks ago. And you know, this has been a pretty big news week, actually, for IMSA. Andretti Autosport will be back in the championship next year with an LMP3 car for Jared Andretti. I think that's great news. And then, you know, not necessarily related to that, but Meyer Shank Racing, of course, going to be running the prototypes next year with the Acura. And they announced this week was the fact that AJ Allmendinger, who won a race, I think, earlier today, he's going to be on the roster for that team at Daytona, which also is great news. And then, of course, looking in the more shorter term, Pfaff Racing is going to be back in the GTD ranks for Petit Le Mans. So, yeah, it's been a really good news week for IMSA, and things looking good already for 2021.
That's Jeremy Shaw. He's with me, John Hindhoff, in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre. Our VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock Reporter is Shea Adam. 18 cars. It's the GTD and the GT Le Mans field, effectively filling the gap left by Lime Rock Park and their GT Festival up there. And here is how they will start the race.
Yeah, this is going to be round 8 of the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship for GTLM, round 7 for GTD, and round 6 of the WeatherTech Sprint Cup for GTD as well. So a little bit confusing, but it's going to be a great race. As John said, 18 cars on the grid, 12 GT Daytona cars, and 6 GTLMs. Row 9 of the grid, after the off in qualifying, is Mischa Goikberg in number 57 Heinrich Racing with MSR Kurbagagenian. That's the Acura NSX GT3 car. Alongside him, Rob Ferriel in number 30 Team Hardpoint Audi R8 LMS GT3. Moving on to the 8th row of the grid, John Potter in number 44 car. That's a GRT Magnus Lamborghini Huracan GT3, the lone Lamborghini in the field. And alongside him, the lone Aston Martin Vantage GT3, that's a Heart of Racing team car number 23, is Ian James. Row 7, Michael De Quesada in number 12, Aim Vassar Sullivan Lexus RCF GT3, filling in for Frankie Montecalvo. Alongside him, his best qualifying run so far in the Gradient Racing Acura NSX GT3, car number 22, is Till Bechtelsheimer. Row 6 to the grid, Gar Robinson, also a good qualifying run for the car that finished on the podium in two of the last three races. That's the number 74 Riley Motorsports Mercedes AMG GT3. Alongside Ryan Hardwick in car number 16, the Wright Motorsports Porsche 911 GT3R. On to the second row of the grid in GT Daytona, making his debut this weekend, the current GT3 championship leader, Jeff Kingsley in car number 76. That's the Compass Racing McLaren 720S GT3. Alongside the second of the Meyer Shank Racing with Kurbagagenian Acuras, car number 86 is Matt McMurray in the championship leading car number 86. Onto the front row in GTD, Robbie Foley will start second in the Turner Motorsport BMW M6 GT3. That's car number 96. And on the pole position for the third time this season, from Wisconsin, the caliber 14 for Aim Vassar Sullivan, the Lexus RCF GT3 leader of the WeatherTech Sprint Cup Championship is Aaron Tielitz. Move on to row three of the grid and the GTLM cars. At the back, after the crash in qualifying, Lawrence Vantor, number 912 Porsche GT team, Porsche 911 RSR 19, alongside Oliver Gavin, caliber 4 Corvette Racing, Chevrolet Corvette C8R. The two BMWs from BMW team RLL will make up row two, with Jesse Krohn in the caliber 24 in fourth position, and Bruno Spengler in car number 25 on the third position on the grid. Moving on to the front row. Excellent run by Fred McAvicky in car number 911, the second of the Porsche GT team, Porsche 911 RSR 19s. And on the pole position, the fifth time in his career, the third time this year for Corvette Racing, the number three Chevrolet Corvette C8R is Jordan Taylor.
And quite clearly the favourite of Riley there in the background. Thank you, Jeremy. Riley getting in on the act. One of the coolest dogs in motorsport. If you don't know Riley, we should really start. Riley, his own Twitter account, to be honest. He is such a cool dog. Let's just go through a couple of other points, Shea. We had Fred McAvicky qualifying, which means Nick Tandy will finish the race with so much oval driving on there. Was that a bit of a surprise to you, Nick, who's come up from short track racing, big NASCAR and oval racing fan?
It was a little bit of a surprise, but then the more I thought about it, the more it made sense, especially with what Jeremy was just mentioning, a 5-minute minimum drive time. Mm. If you've got an ace up your sleeve, like Nick Tandy with all his short track racing
and
experience,
the wet.
And the wet, you put Nick Tandy in the car for the greatest amount of time possible. So it does kind of make sense. But then Fred's qualifying time was so impressive and so close to the pole. You might just want to leave him in for a little bit longer, too.
It's all going to come down to any yellow flags. We were replete with them in the Xfinity race earlier on, which was the race that Jeremy mentioned, won by AJ Allmendinger, who's pulling double duty, not jumping into another car, but jumping into an announcer seat for our colleagues at NBCSN, who will be covering the race in the USA for all of those of you in the US. And by the way, if you're moving around today and you're in the US, it's Sirius 217 XM 202. So that's Sirius 217 XM 202. And thank you once again for to the guys at Sirius XM for allowing us to steal a few of their airwaves for a wee while. Bit of a voyage, pun absolutely intended, Jeremy, into the unknown tonight. The cream has risen to the top and the form teams have got both pole positions, although you pointed out in qualifying, rightly so, Corvette haven't necessarily been quick in qualifying. Porsche have been quick in qualifying, but Porsche have yet to win a race in the GT Le Mans category this season.
Yeah, that's bizarre, isn't it, that Porsche has gone this far into the season without getting a victory, because the cars have been competitive just about everywhere. Four pole positions out of the previous seven races, but as you say, no wins yet. So the car clearly is quick. I mean, it was very close in qualifying, and I think it's going to be, it should be a really close race. I think there's little to choose between the Chevrolet, the Porsche and the BMW here. But certainly Porsche, yeah, they really do want that first win of the year. They weren't here, of course, for the last race as a result of the ramifications that led on from the COVID virus that that some of the team picked up at Le Mans. But they're back here, and they hope not with a bang literally, but with a bang figuratively.
And as far as GTD's concerned, very small time gaps. In fact, Aaron Tielitz, who pulled out, just over a tenth, the next three or four cars are all within a tenth of a second. Not of each other, I mean, totally. But what we've got there is what we love to see in GTD, Jeremy. We've got variety. We've got BMW, Acura, McLaren, Porsche, Mercedes, all in the top six positions, and that is fantastic.
Yeah, just brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I mean, hats off once again. We talk about it a lot, but it's really, I think, important that we acknowledge that the job that the IMSA technical team does to make sure these some of them very different cars are all competitive with one another. And I think you're in for an exciting race here. You talked about Aaron Tielitz pulling out a tenth of a second on that final lap of qualifying. Well, he had to brush up against the wall in order to get that that extra tenth of a second. But you know, that's what it's going to take. It's going to be a hard-fought race here this evening.
Shay, I mentioned in the Porsche keys to the race, watching the weather. You like to be our weather watcher as someone who spent a formative years in Florida. You do like to chat about that. What are you seeing coming up the pipe?
I'm watching the radar fairly closely. There's not a great deal of green on the radar, which is a good news in terms of moving into the Charlotte area. So I think we might actually get just sprinkling. We might not get that big downpour that we witnessed earlier on in the day, which is good news for everybody on the pit lane. But it's still going to be Michelin wet tires because there is a lot of rain in the area. So we're not going to quite get away with this.
Yeah, Tony Menard has said the tyre choice for Michelin said the tyre choice is easy tonight. I think they're going to have a fair few grooves on them. Michelin countdown to green, winding gently to a close. We'll remind you of our Porsche keys to the race throughout the 100 minutes that is to come. And, of course, we'll wind off the evening with Michelin post-race tech. But next, we go racing at Charlotte Motor Speedway.